My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
Oh, there it is. We love the Portuguese version of the ESP song. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Elliot Shore Parks joins us every Friday at 3. Elliot's call-in is brought to you by Robin Ford, online at robinford.com, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. Elliot, you must be pretty...
Real quick.
Yeah.
Gotta admit, don't like the Portuguese song.
Yeah, well, I like singing with it, and I can't sing along with the Portuguese one.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
The committee will take that into consideration for next week.
Committee.
If you forgot the Eagles went to Brazil, it's also quite the something to explain.
Yeah, yes. Why is that in Portuguese? Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, Elliot, you must be thrilled to get a football game to watch and talk about
back.
Again.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Look, I'm sure the Eagles aren't too thrilled to Philly block. So
yes.
All the angry eyes of the city are directly back onto them.
So, yeah.
You know, it's tough to call a week six game like a must-win game, but they have to more than just win it. I think Sunday is like a strictly style points game. Like, you can't win this one 22-21. You got to go out there, play well, win the game, because otherwise I think it's going to be a really ugly Monday for them.
So we'll get to that game in a second, but I need to ask you about the Phillies. So first of all, we've been talking about the potential of firing Rob Thompson. The idea here is that there is something missing from an accountability standpoint, which is the way I described it, that they let the players, you know, manage themselves and it didn't work,
yeah.
So they have to move on. What's your thought on the Phillies potentially moving on from Rob Thompson?
So I do think this team needs to make some type of major change before they start next year. And I think the tough thing with that is we can talk about trading Castellanos, Schwarber, Turner, but you're just not going to get value for them back. Like, I think you in some ways make the team worse. So the best way to actually make some type of culture change there is probably by firing the manager. I don't think it's his fault completely. That being said, he has managed this team for 3 years, and they're still making the same mistakes they are. I would compare it a bit to Nick Sirianni, that we talk obviously a lot about his job security. I don't think Sirianni's the problem, but if they keep turning it over, if they keep playing well below 500 football, like, then ultimately you can only point the finger so many places. So I do think they should fire him, even though I don't believe he's the biggest problem.
And if you were to put the failure, I guess, of the season on any one person or any one aspect of the team, where would you put it?
So it's tough to say for the whole season, because they did win the division. And I know that's not, you know, no one's here that now, but the regular season was a success.
And you're a big win the division guy. It's one of your ethos.
As I pointed out with the Sixers, making the playoffs year after year is no easy task.
There it is.
But if I had to pin the loss to the Mets on one player, I think it goes on Bryce. I mean, that series was lost when he swung at those three straight pitches in game three. Like, the main problem with this team is plate discipline. And he, in that instance, in one of the biggest moments, if not the biggest moment of the series, displayed the worst plate discipline I think any player did this series. So I think, you know, as a leader of the team, as someone that's supposed to set the standard, is someone that players are supposed to look to, he gets the blame.
He gets the blame?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he could have done more, but blame for losing the series? You got to know you're in the minority with that take, right?
Well, you could say that about a lot of things. But, like, yeah. Look, I think when you look at the main issue with the team, it's that they keep swinging at bad pitches, right? And in the playoffs, that's what gets them. They swing at bad pitches, and so ultimately they go on cold streaks. Bryce is the leader of the team. Like, I thought that they won game two because Bryce hit that home run, right? Then Castellanos did, and he started rallying. But if we're going to say Bryce energizes the team, we then also have to face the reality that what he does at the plate matters. And when you are up after two straight walks, and I think they were down 2-0 at that point or 1-0, and you not like striking out is fine. It's hard to hit a baseball. Swinging at three straight pitches from a pitcher that had just walked two straight people, like that's an egregious at bat. So the whole problem with this team, in my opinion, has to start at the top, and Bryce has to be better there.
Yeah, that is a terrible take, but. If you're looking for a reason to put blame on Bryce, I guess you can find that to blame Bryce. I think in that moment you have a valid case to be made. But as far as why they lost the series, like Bryce Harper is nowhere near the top of the reason why they lost this series.
But the reason they lost is because of the plate discipline, right? So
he can't control everybody else and what they do at the plate.
But he does in positive way, right? There's so many times we talk after games and go, he made that play and everybody reacted off of it. He made that hustle play and it got the team going. He hit that home run and brought him back to life. And I agree with all that. But then if we're going to acknowledge what he does at the plate has an impact on the whole clubhouse, then when he struggles, that also has to be an impact. And when he struggles in the exact way the rest of the team is, that is very noteworthy and important to me.
Well, why didn't they come to play when he came to play in game four?
In game four, I mean, I wouldn't say game play. What did he? How many runs did they score in that game? One run, and what did he have?
Well, but he led an inning off with a double with nobody out.
What are you talking about?
But I'm saying, like, let's not act like they had a fine game four. I mean, yes, you want to say they should have followed his lead in game four.
Yes,
fine, but again, you're just acknowledging that they follow his lead.
Well,
No. What I'm pointing out is that when he does play well and they don't, you mean to tell me he's still at fault for them not hitting?
No, but I'm telling.
But that's what happened in game four.
But I'm not saying he's at fault for not hitting the baseball. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's at fault for like a batting average or not hitting enough home runs. I'm saying where he carries blame to me is the exact moment he did the exact thing this team has done for year over year. Like, if you're talking about firing Topper, right? Mm-hmm. Topper has not got them to get better plate discipline over the last year. I think you would all agree with that.
Sure.
So that's one way to get rid of, to try to fix the problem. But when your best player is doing the thing that all year the players said they were not going to do, I think that's impactful.
I think it is fair to say it's not that he struck out, it's how he struck out. I think you could say that's fair.
I'll go with that in game three. I just, because basketball is the only sort of, I don't even know if basketball can correlate. I'm just saying if Embiid were to average 35 points in a series and the other guys don't do their job, I can't blame Joel Embiid that they lost the series.
I guess the last thing I'll say on it is it's not about like the stats. It's about
No. It is the stats when it matters when we talk about results because an individual player can only control what he can control.
Right, but the message to be better at the plate doesn't hold the strength it does in my opinion.
He's not in charge of giving the message to the ball club.
But we know he dictates what the team does.
Listen. You know I love you. Stop looking for reasons to want to blame Bryce.
Yeah, I would never do something like
that. One single player, but
well, it sounds like you just said you blame Bryce as the reason why they lost the series. I just can't get with that.
Yes, just like when the Sixers lose, we say when Joel's like moping up and down the court, that has a bad impact.
Yeah, so if Bryce was moping and didn't run out the ball or something like to that effect, then I would totally agree with you. I just didn't see any. I don't like when he strikes out either, but it's part of the game. Guys strike out.
Breaking out. It's about how it happened. Three straight pitches in that spot. Like, again, I'm not saying he should have hit a home run there. I'm saying.
Are you giving Elliott the music?
We get it.
The guy had nearly a 1 point. He had a 1.3. What is it? OPS. 1300 OPS. Man, I get it. We're all disappointed, but let's not just, for the sake of it, to say Bryce was the reason why they lost, just to blame it on Bryce Harper.
I don't want to blame it.
All right, I'm.
Yeah.
Well, he was at Sabrina Carpenter in Game 3 anyway, so who cares?
Were you at Sabrina Carpenter during Game 3?
Hold on. No, the game was over by the time
we got okay. All right. Jack had that one in the...
He's working on that.
Yep. 16-year-old.
Yep. He's like a... Jack was like a video game that had one bomb that'll blow up everybody on the screen, and he's just holding it for the right time.
Well, whenever Jack texts me and asks where I'm at, I know it will be on the show.
So... Elliot, do you have any, and this could go for insider of the year points, do you have any further explanation on what happened with Devin White? And the only reason I'm asking it now specifically is with N'Kobe Dean, and I know he said he's going to play, but he was limited today in practice. Do you have any further, you know, insight as to how all of that happened?
So I do think he was released this week because they're going to need a roster spot. Sidney Brown is coming back up off the IR. I think there's a good chance he'll be active on Sunday against the Browns. So you have to pick who are you going to release off the roster. And while Devin White has a big name for sure, and they obviously gave him a decent check, a backup linebacker that doesn't play special teams on the 53-man roster just doesn't hold a lot of value. So in terms of why he was released now, I think that's probably, you know, roster construction is part of it. In terms of why it didn't work out here, I just don't think Vic Fangio thought he could play. I think it's flat out. Like, he played him all offseason, gave him the first team rep, and then right before the season, he benched him. And if your coordinator is not going to play him and he's not going to play on special teams, he just doesn't hold much value. So I think that's what happened.
You think it's weird that he was never even active, though?
Yeah, but again, if the coordinator, so I think there's a couple of things. One, if the coordinator is not going to play you, then you know, there's no point in being active. I don't think Vic Fangio trusted or liked Devin White.
Even if Dean gets hurt mid-game, he's putting in Trotter, you think, even if
correct,
they're both active.
Trotter's the backup, or Oren Burks. I think Vic Fangio was not a Devin White fan in terms of what he thought he could do in his defense. And so if you're not going to dress and you're not going to play special teams, then you don't really have a roster spot. Now, it is a major miss by the Eagles. You know, I think we're all just saying, well, Vic said he can't play, so that's that. N'Kobe has not been that great. Zach Bond has been pretty up and down. So they don't have, like, a player at the linebacker position that's playing outstanding right now where I can sit here and go, okay, they didn't need Devin White. Like, maybe if Trotter goes in, if there's an injury and plays outstanding, then you go, all right, they evaluated that correctly. But none of the linebackers are playing well enough right now where you can just gloss over the fact the guy they signed to be their starting linebacker never played a snap for him.
And his personality doesn't fit.
Yeah, I mean, so...
His personality does not fit the locker room. He's not a leader. He's not an impactful player when it comes to helping other players. He's a detriment to be on the roster. That's why they moved on from him. That's why they ate nearly $4 million. He doesn't want to play special teams. The very idea of having a backup linebacker who doesn't play special teams, I don't even know if that exists in the NFL.
Right.
That's what backup linebackers do. They play special teams. So he felt that was beneath him. That's a terrible message to send to other players on the team.
And the retweet.
He had to go. And that was the final straw right there, the retweet.
I've never seen a guy try to get cut more than Devin White did in that moment. Elliot, so the Eagles play a team that is falling apart on Sunday. The Cleveland Browns have a guy who's making $250 million or $300 million, whatever it is, but he's playing like the worst quarterback in the NFL. The Eagles are 9.5-point favorites, 10 points in some spots.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the possibility is that they go in and just really handle the Browns like you want them to handle them?
I would say slim. I just don't think this team is playing well enough right now that you could trust them to blow out any team. I think they'll win the game. I think they are better than the Cleveland Browns. But when they're not playing well, I mean, you go back and watch that Buccaneers game. I know there's no A.J., Devontae, and Lane, and that certainly matters. Those are arguably the three most important players on the team. But guys all over the field are missing blocks. There's guys where you look at it and they're running the wrong route or route where they're like they're in the same place on the field. Jalen has accuracy issues. Jalen has turnover issues. So I think they are better than the Browns. I think it's a game that they should win. But if you're playing poorly, it kind of doesn't matter who you play in a way. Like their execution right now is just not clicking on all cylinders. And I think coming out of the bye, you could see some rust. So I don't expect them to dominate this game. Not because the Browns are close to them, but just because I don't think the Eagles are playing at a high level right now. And that will impact their ability to blow a team out.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I see a blowout here either. I mean, I would take the Browns plus 10. So I'm not surprised at that. And my score later will indicate that I don't expect a 10-point win, although I do expect a win.
I would say this is a critically important stretch coming up. They have four games, and I think the Bengals are obviously better than their record. I mean, they are what they are, but
they could score 50 points against the Eagles.
Especially against this Eagles defense,
Yeah, no, I think the Bengals, going to Cincinnati is a tough game. But of the next four games, I think the combined record of those teams is 5-15. Mm-hmm. You're 100% healthy. Everyone's ready to go. You just had the bye week. You have got to go 3-1 over this next stretch, and you have to beat the Browns. If they go 2-2, I think that's a real red flag about where this team is at for the rest of the season. And at that point, I wonder if Jeffrey Lurie starts to look and go, you know what, like we should be not only beating these teams, we should be beating them by more. So I think this next stretch for Sirianni and the team is critically important.
A lot of football left to play. Relax. Defensive-wise, what should we expect from Cooper come Sunday?
So it's a tough matchup for Cooper. Obviously, the Browns' offense is struggling, in my opinion, because they have a terrible offensive line. And then as a result, and in addition to, the quarterback is terrible. But they do have fairly decent receivers. They have Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore, and they move all of them inside to the slot. So, you know, Cooper, I think what he brings right now is he was a very good tackler in college. We'll see if that translates to the NFL. But I think he'll help in the running game. I think he, you know, in the box will be an upgrade over Avonte Maddox. But in coverage, like him versus Amari Cooper is not a great matchup for his first NFL start. Jerry Jeudy hasn't reached his potential, but he is a very good quick route runner. And then Elijah Moore obviously has speed. So I think just the matchups are tough for him on Sunday. The good news is the quarterback's bad, which will help, but just the coverage is going to be difficult.
Well, listen. This ain't the damn Big Ten. Like, he's not going up against Big Ten wide receivers. So, this is the NFL. They saw fit to draft him in the second round. He's going to get matched up against wide receivers. What do you think he's going to be playing against fourth-string wide receivers? He's got to go up against some good guys. I got a guy who played in Toledo that's out there going up against receivers every week. Mike Evans, it don't matter who it is. Drake London, he's out there. Cooper DeJean was a first-round talent that fell to the second round. I don't want to hear about a tough matchup with Elijah Moore. You kidding me, Jerry Jeudy, who stinks? Let's go, Cooper.
Yeah, look, I agree that, you know, this is – look, it's the worst offense in the NFL. They're at the bottom of most every single category besides red zone offense, ironically enough. So if you want to, like, paint a way where this team struggles on Sunday, it's that the Eagles do the bend-don't-break defense, where they're happy to let you in the red zone, and then they have a top-10 red zone defense. The Browns have been good in the red zone in the limited time they've gotten there. So that is one concern if you wanted to try to paint a picture of how this is close, is once the Browns get inside the 20, they've done a decent job.
This game is close one way, is if our quarterback keeps turning the ball over.
And that would be – so I agree with you. And while Jalen has been better than Deshaun Watson this year, if you just looked at their numbers, it's not that different. Deshaun Watson's thrown for more touchdowns. Deshaun Watson has fewer turnovers. What's really separated the two is just in the pocket, Deshaun Watson has been not as accurate as Jalen has. But, yeah, I agree with you. And that is the one concern about the Browns as well, is Myles Garrett obviously is a tough matchup.
Lord.
They blitz a ton. They're seventh in the league in blitzing. They have one of the best pressure rates for a defensive line because of that blitzing. So, yeah, I think the Eagles have been better against the blitz this year, but that would be one concern.
There he is, Elliot Shore Parks. If you didn't hear enough of him here, you can hear him every day.
He's back.
By subscribing to the Go Birds podcast, and get it wherever you get your podcast. Comes out every morning. Get 15, 20, 25 minutes of Elliot every day. It's perfect. And people are dying for it.
Exactly right. I appreciate it.
There he is.
We get a 1 p.m. pregame show. I'm excited for it.
How about that?
There it is.
I know he'll be dressed to a T Sunday, October.
I like to wear the linen suit every single game.
Yeah. There he is. Elliot, who acts like he lives in Miami.
Yeah, exactly right.
Elliot Short Parks. We love Elliot. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, the official jeweler of you. If you're looking to get engaged, shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with rings for every budget online at marks-jewelers.com. Twitter question, do you want the Phillies to fire Rob Thompson? 69% say no, 31% say yes. 215-592-9494. Foxhole guy Bella, you're on WIP. What's up, Bella?
I don't know where to start. The longer you leave me on hold, the more I write down that I got to say.
Okay. It's okay. All yours.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
He's got to go. I mean, Rob Thompson's a nice guy. I think he's probably a wonderful parent. He's a nice guy. I trust him. He always trusts him. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He's always like, these are not children. These are billionaires who, first of all, it's hard enough that when the people that you're trying to lead make 10 times more than you do, and they're way more important than you are, that must be like herding cats. But the point is, you can't be a nice guy with these people. You can't have one of your guys, after everything's all over, saying, well, I thought it would be like turning a light on once we got to the playoffs. And another guy saying, well, I'm not going to change who I am. And Rob himself said, well, you know, this can be fixed. It's when? It's the season is over. It's too late to fix anything. He's a nice guy, but what did Leo DeRocher say? Do you guys know?
No, what did he say?
Do you know who he is?
Yes.
I don't have a clue. Well, one of us does, Spike.
Go ahead, Bella.
He said nice guys finished last.
Oh,
there were
okay.
eight teams he in the league. That. He said the nice guys are all over there in seventh place. We're not trying to win a popularity contest. And I am like off the charts. I mean, he said to us that Sanchez would be available if Ranger, you know, Ranger did okay. Got into trouble, got out of trouble. Where was Sanchez? What happened to Sanchez? He was available. Why didn't he put him in? Who puts in Hoffman in the middle of a game like that? He's just, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. He has no control over these people. And I understand, you know, when you make a lot of money and you're famous and people adore you, you act a certain way. But they got to know Trey Turner and Alec Boehm. They were all stars because people like me voted them in 10 times a day, every day.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep. I agree with you. I think anyone who wants him fired, it's hard to say, well, I don't think he's ever good at his job or this
is a nice guy.
A nice guy and
had success.
Yes.
Like Sirianni, same thing.
Yeah.
They went to playoffs 3 years in a row, but we never get over that finish line. We never get over the finish line. And I think he has them in the wrong headspace.
I think we agree. I think especially because it's so hard to change everything else. And if you agree that there's talent there, which we all agree that there is, mm-hmm. you know, coaches sometimes, not that he's the same thing, but I think Brett Brown's a good coach. Brett Brown was was the first Sixers coach to win 50 games in consecutive seasons in forever. It was amazing that he survived as long as he did. But there was at a point, and look, it didn't work with Doc Rivers either, but there was a point.
But it was time to.
It was time for Andy Reid at a certain point.
Yeah, it happens.
So, and he's a great coach. He's one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Analytics. They don't even coach anymore.
Yeah.
Like they look at, you know, do this at that and do this when this happens and do this. And I could do that. You and me together, Spike. We should go, you know, read the analytics.
Well.
But we need somebody to get these guys in the right place. Didn't we all know that if he benched Alec Boehm, he would never get over it?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah. Yeah, the Alec Boehm thing's a tough one. And by the way, Bella, I endorse you as Phillies manager. I don't think I like this job. I don't want to do both, you know. So, but if you want to do it, I'm all
good.
In.
I'm good. Okay.
All right, see? Bella. Appreciate you.
All right, guys.
All right. Bella the foxhole guy. Bella always bringing it. So,
foxhole gal?
Nah, it's always foxhole guy, I think. Jack, what do you think?
I think it's always guy.
Yeah, I think it's always foxhole guy.
Unless she wants to be a foxhole gal. Then we'll
yeah, but she said to us, I want to be a foxhole guy. What do you think? You're thinking it over.
I would go foxhole gal.
All right.
That's just me.
Okay. Well,
we can make multiple shirts.
But if she wants to be a foxhole guy.
That's what she said.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's
fine. Like we tried to explain to Devin one time, because Devin was talking about how she's, I don't know, something about men. And she's like, well, can I say that if I'm a woman? I was like, well, men's men.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're going to be a steakman or a, you know, she did.
Woman is in men.
Is in men. Men yeah. is in woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, men.
It's called women.
I know.
Or with an A is woman.
Yeah. Woman. Yeah.
Yeah. Men. But it's still men.
Yeah. It's like men. Yeah. Like Steakman.
Yeah.
No, I know what you're saying. Mike. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're saying women. That's plural.
No, I'm just saying like.
Steaksman.
Yeah. Yeah. But that can count for a man or a woman because it's like.
But even when you say that, you're saying it with a M-A-N.
Yes.
But it sounds like M-E-N.
Sure.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, but woman with an A still is men.
It's man.
But you don't say woman. You say
woman.
You
do say woman.
Woman. Mun. Not men, not woman.
See 1-5.
How do you? This is so dumb.
Is Batman a superhero?
How dumb we sound right now. Saying this. Yes.
This is when Bella said we sound like a bunch of guys at a what'd she say at a bar mitzvah that snuck alcohol in and can't handle the alcohol.
Right.
This is the moment she's talking
on, yeah,
about.
Yeah, we get caught up on things. Yeah, I apologize to the listening
this
audience.
This is actually the argument of three guys that are high, not drunk. This is the. But it's an A.
That's an A.
It's men?
I like to do the show blind. Well, that's the whole, is that we had the despite, in spite of.
That was another one. That was another one.
Took 8 minutes off everyone's lives.
We're giving them entertainment. All right. Coming up at 4 o'clock, Ron Jaworski. We will continue to discuss the Rob Thompson thing. Do you think he should be fired? 215-592-9494. And unfortunately, I think, like it or not, we're going to have a game day forecast next with Tornado Shapiro.
No.
Yeah, he calls at 3:30 every Friday.
All right.
That's what I think is good. We didn't even have a football game last week he called. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Jack's just trying to change up the vibe today.
Yeah, I am.
Different songs all day long.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. And so you're picking songs that people know, unlike Francisco, who doesn't.
Yeah.
It's
Fat Man Scoop. Rest in peace.
Tornado Shapiro.
Hey, fellas. Tornado with the game day forecast. That's Tornado as in Shapiro.
No one is asking for the game day forecast. It's going to be fine on Sunday.
Why would you deny your listeners vital information for game day? This is a home game. Music, please!
It's the game day forecast from the world's most accurate and famous meteorologist, Tornado Shapiro.
Please don't ever forget the most accurate part. Okay.
Yeah, most now, accurate, sure.
You've got a well-rested Eagles team coming back healthy. But this is Cleveland coming in. You know, Cleveland is home to Channel 4 News with some of the healthiest weather gals in the business. WWDTNA from Helen.
It's not a real station. I'm sorry.
You can look it up, fella.
Okay.
From Helen Mellons to Nina Knockers, these gals are all stars, by the way. Both Helen and Nina, much more than a handful.
All right. We don't need to worry about Cleveland. The game's in Philly, Tornado.
She'll take you a little further south, too, to Akron. Yeah, that's home to the world-famous Akron Annie. Her morals are muddier than the Cuyahoga River. Cuyahoga! Come on! Some people call Akron Annie a squealer. Now, only because on television, she would often sing the forecast. Never say, Annie, get your gun, but sure, she sure as hell will find yours.
All right.
Ooh, boy. Hardest wood I had ever touched.
I worked in Cleveland at WSLO. I'm sorry, WOSL.
Don't you be WSOL?
WWSOL. There you go. All crappy news all day long. Dated Clover Claire from Cleveland. She skated for the local roller derby team, the Cleveland Steamers.
That...
I don't know if you've... how she'd cascade up my back and give me an attitude adjustment.
All right, just do the forecast, okay?
I forgot he was doing a forecast.
Sunny on Sunday, look for Deshaun Watson to show up clean, shiny, tall, and a little bit stiff.
All right.
Happy and well adjusted.
All right. So, it's 80 and sunny, so it's going to be nice out.
Sure, but you never know.
You're supposed to know. You're the meteorologist.
30% chance of pre-ship showing right now, and 30 could sneak up to 50. Bring the sunscreen, but pack the rain boots. That's all. I'm just being honest and accurate.
That is the rain boots. You're a fraudulent meteorologist. You're not a real weather guy.
You know, a lot of the gals are wearing those shiny Hunter knee-high boots. Ouch! Run the rain with or without rain. You're looking at a beautiful sunny day, but dare I say it again, it's a 50-50 shot of rain, fella.
No, there isn't. You suck. You're terrible.
Where's my outro music? Come on, strike up the band.
He doesn't have outro music. He shouldn't even have an intro.
I like his intro.
He doesn't have outro music?
No. He shouldn't even have an intro. He got the intro produced himself.
How'd he get Battle's number?
Also, all these weather girls can't be real. That he's talking about.
I don't know, man.
You don't think so?
He's a player.
He didn't even know how to pronounce Akron. He kept calling it Akron.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
Well, some of you East Coast people, they call it Akron.
Is that how you say it?
That's not how you say it.
Okay.
It's Akron.
No, good. I'm just a kid from Akron.
Yes, it's the home of LeBron.
Tornado Shapiro is getting... What's the word I'm looking for? More and more risque every time he calls in. He's just a horn dog. That's all he is. I don't even think he was actually a weatherman. Jack, you're the producer.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever do any investigative reporting on whether Tornado Shapiro has actually worked at any of these stations?
First call, I would believe we were on the road, so I can't take any. I have no, jurisdiction over that.
You're on the internet?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No. It's hard not to trust them, though.
It's very hard. 215-592-9494. Mike in Norristown, you're on WIP.
Hey, what do you know? What do you say?
Is this Tornado Shapiro again? What's up, Mike?
I don't think you have to worry about Deshaun Watson playing on Sunday.
Okay, there's a joke coming here. Why? Yeah.
He's probably going to get caught up on the 18th and Walnut Massage Parlor.
There you go.
Got him!
But as far as Rob Thompson goes, I think it's asinine to even talk about. The guy has been solid for his past 3 years. You know, it ain't his fault that Trey Turner turned out to be a crumb bum.
We're kind of hard on Trey Turner.
Yeah.
He sucks. He's a bum. He ain't nothing what he was like when he was with the Dodgers. He hasn't shown any heart with us. He just ain't a good fit. And now we're stuck because we paid him too much. Nobody's going to want him.
Well, that's true. Not unless you're going to eat up half the contract for him.
Yeah, nobody's going to pay for that guy. He's a bum. He's a crumb bum.
So, Mike, let me ask you this. You say that Rob's done everything right, has been a good manager, yet the Phillies for three consecutive years have achieved less and less. They just lost in an incredibly gutless fashion to a division rival in which they scored 5 runs in 3 games. And one of the biggest issues was their ability to focus on at-bats and have valuable at-bats. So I guess my question to you is, what is he doing so well that they are achieving less and less? And if he isn't what you're changing, what are you changing?
Well, he's been competitive. I mean, we've been in the playoffs. We went to the World Series, NLCS. We won the division this year. It ain't his fault that they ain't hitting. It ain't his fault that our bullpen sucks and Hoffman's like Ray Charles out there throwing it right down the freaking middle.
I know, but again, I'm circling back to how do you get the Phillies in a position next year to win a World Series, given the contractual situations that they have with players, the luxury tax, all of those things? How are we doing it?
We got to try to figure out how to get better. We got to get better bullpen, that's for sure. We got to get better pitchers on the relieving end. Yeah. That's the main reason we lost. We should have won game one.
The main reason we lost is we scored 1.5 runs a game in the games that they lost. You know, I mean, it's true. They unless you're expecting to win the games 2-1 and 1-0, I appreciate the call, Mike. And this is what people are struggling with, Ike, mm-hmm. is that it is very hard to point at Rob Thompson and say he is the reason they lost. He's not the
reason
they lost.
Which I don't believe he's the reason that they lost either.
No, but we need somebody in there to maybe be the reason that they win, to maybe find a way, maybe you can mine whatever has been missing from them, from a focus perspective, from a motivational perspective, from an accountability perspective. I don't think that any of us, we're all in agreement here that we would move on, right? I don't think any of us expect this to be some sort of, oh, this is going to fix everything.
Right.
But you have to try something. Something. And I do think it is fair to point out that, yes, this is on the players, but part of Rob Thompson is letting it be on the players, letting them manage this themselves. Mm-hmm. And the last 2 years, I think you could say that maybe last year they didn't outperform expectations, but I think you could say it's fair that this year that focus and letting them manage themselves in that way, it failed. And it didn't just fail against the Mets. It failed for 3 months. For 3 months it failed. And they kept saying, well, it'll come back. It'll come back. That is a reflection. I'm not saying the manager makes them the way that they are, but he allows them to be the way that they are. And I think it would send a message to them that this is not how we're going to do it anymore.
Yeah, I think you're looking at this team and you're saying to yourself, how do I get the most out of this roster? If you're Dave Dombrowski and you're John Middleton, you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I end up with a different result next year? And if you're coming back status quo and just hoping that somehow the players are going to hit next year and it's going to work out, we're more likely to end up in the same position, if not worse, next year also. I just, this to me is more or less of a last ditch effort trying to win with this core before I blow this core up.
And
we only got another year or two at the most with the core of these players. Now, Trey and Bryce will be here, but
JT.
JT's contract is up, Cassie's contract is up, and Schwarber's contract is up in 2 years.
Extended.
Well, yeah, I know we want to extend him, but why extend him if we can't win?
Yeah, but it's a fair point.
like, why extend him?
You know, I think there is, from a culture standpoint, I think what we might have here is a lot of good complementary culture players and maybe not culture setters. And that isn't to insult Bryce or Schwarber or Cassie or any of that. But if you can't say that we have good culture setters and have a team that gave up for 3 months, you can't say you have culture setters who, by the way, Kyle Schwarber told us on the air, we care about the one seed. Mm-hmm. Did you see a team that cared about the one seed that last week of the season?
No.
I didn't. And organizationally, they decided it didn't matter.
And I don't think he believed it when he said it.
Right. He didn't care. The manager didn't care. The general manager didn't care. And here, what I would say is, it's not that the one seed was the be-all, end-all. But what I'm saying is, it was something to try to get them back into the headspace that competing was important.
Yeah.
That we need to win this. Because the couple of times when the division did get close, they found something.
Uh-huh.
You know? Yeah. Now, they got lucky that the Braves were as injured as they were, and that the Mets were so far behind from the first 2 months of the season that teams didn't catch them. But go ahead.
I think this team also, just in listening to them for majority of the year, they felt like a team that was sniffing themselves, that they've accomplished something here, and they have. I mean, you can say World Series, a pennant, and all that, but yeah. I felt like I was listening to a team that held themselves to like a we're a World Series, like we're there all the time kind of thing, and I think that's what has to be shaken up. Like, you have to shake up that idea of smelling yourself.
It's almost like they were treating this season the way that the Chiefs are sort of treating this season in the first five games. In that, you know, they've won a few Super Bowls, and they're like, you know what? We can just get through the regular season. That's all we need to do because we know how to win. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs have won Super Bowls.
Exactly.
We're all trusting that they know how to win. You know,
yes.
And that's why everyone that would bring up, what's his name? Quarterback.
Patrick Mahomes.
When they would bring up Patrick Mahomes stats compared to Hurts,
it's like it don't matter.
It's like he knows. Patrick Mahomes knows. It's just a different thing.
I don't care what those stats say.
Yes, I don't care. And it's sort of like the Phillies, to your point. It reminds me a little bit, Jack, of when the Houston Rockets won their second, or the Houston Rockets won. They weren't, I think they were a 5 seed or something, because they just sort of went and would glide through the regular season. This isn't that important. But the Phillies are not, they have not earned that. And by the way, you know, JT said it. He said, we thought we could just flip the switch on. And they had, it should have been in his head from how they have not been able to flip the switch on since June that we can't. You know, I think he was hoping. I don't even think he believed that they could flip the switch on.
They were hoping. Well, and here's the thing. Here's the part that we play in it as fans. We enable them to sort of go about their business the way that they do because we're always there to support them.
Mm-hmm.
We're not as hard on them. Right? Every once in a while, you know, we as a matter of fact, having you here hosting, you've gone down that path and you've had to bear the brunt of people backlash because you were speaking the truth and you were giving harsh truth and reality in the moment that we chose to ignore as a fan base, as a club. And that's really part of the issue with them, is that we tend to just let things go and they'll figure it out. Whereas now we need to be fed up with it ourselves and say, no, this is no longer good enough. And they will respond. They will respond, meaning they will respond by doing something, meaning John Middleton will. But if we all sit here like, oh, we like this guy, I like that guy, oh, he's not the reason. Oh, he's not the reason. Just keep him. And then what are they supposed to do if nobody's holding them accountable?
And by the way, it's only one moment, and I'm not saying it's an A to B thing, but I don't, to your point there, I don't think it's accidental that the first time they got booed this year, the next day there was a team meeting, Trey Turner was sitting, and all of a sudden they, like the slide that they were on momentarily was gone for a minute. But they did the same thing. And Jax brought this up a number of times. They think once it gets fixed, we can just go back to
being ourselves.
Gliding.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't. You can't. You can't glide.
Well, how many times did we talk about a players only meeting or a team meeting, and they kept trying to tell us, like, oh, we don't need to do that.
Right.
We don't need to do that. And then eventually they did it.
Yes.
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 Man.
215-592-9494. AJ in Philly, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, AJ?
What up, AJ?
I'm trying to come at this from the realist perspective here. And it's, one, I don't think we're getting Juan Soto. I think it's highly unlikely. I think it's much more likely that we get Bregman and we send Bohm packing. But I think the biggest thing that this really comes down to is that you need a team that, yeah, like, obviously we got power. We've been relying on the extra base hit. We're boom or bust, and it's to a fault. But you need a team that can execute small ball in its back pocket when it needs to and not be chasing pitches, move runners. And I think that's where I draw the line for Rob. It's, hey, man, do you realize that this boom or bust mentality hasn't worked for the last 3 years when we needed it most? And, like, what does it look like to shift this? And, like, in my opinion, it starts with, like, getting Schwarber out of the leadoff spot. Like, he comes out, he hits a home run, great, you got one run. If he walks or he gets a single or he gets on base, you now literally need two hits to drive him in. And one of them needs to be an extra base hit because he's so damn slow. Now, like, you look at the lineup, say you have Turner leading off, he gets on, you got Stott behind him who's always taking pitches anyway. He takes a few, so now Turner's not relying on Harper to take pitches to steal. Turner's on second. Stott rolls over on a ground ball. He's on third with Harper up with one out. That's how we manufacture runs. I think, like, 2 years ago, you saw Turner steal 30 consecutive bases. People celebrating, that just means he's not stealing enough. You're not maximizing the talent and who's good at what facets of the game. Turner, Stott takes pitches. Turner has speed. Harper has hit so many deep fly balls to the warning track that account for nothing. I just think that the style of baseball.
But AJ, here's, and you're saying not to fire him, right? If we're being clear.
I want to hear him verbatim say, like, this boom or bust baseball and what we set the offense to look like needs to adjust. And
but here's the thing. Here's the thing, AJ. Part of it is not letting the players decide those things, and that is not why he's there. I don't think you can go from 3 years of Schwarbs likes hitting leadoff, let him hit leadoff. Trey likes hitting two, let him hit two. You know, I don't think that you can have, and this is about changing, about waking everyone up. Sometimes it would be like if you have a parent, you know, and you have a mom who, or you have mom or dad who's always easy on you, lets you get away with everything. You know, for you're 15 years old, you've never gotten grounded. And then all of a sudden one day they're like, go up to your room. And the kid would look and laugh, or they'd be puzzled. And I don't know that, because the things that you're talking about are more than lineup changes. They are hard conversations with players who don't want to do what they're not comfortable with. It's reflected in Trey Turner talking about playing shortstop. It's reflected in Alec Bohm saying he's not going to change his approach. You know, these sorts of things. It's reflected in Bryce Harper, you know, not wanting, if there's an opportunity to get a first baseman that can fix the lineup, maybe going back to the outfield. I'm not saying that's likely, but these are all the same things. And they are, I don't think they are simply a strategy issue. I think they are a player management issue. And I don't think you can go from a guy who let the players decide those things and have that same guy all of a sudden change how we're playing baseball and how the decisions are made. I just don't think it works.
But like, how do we know for certain that we're letting Schwarber set the line? Like, I feel like it's all based on assumption. Like, I'm not in the back room hearing the conversation of, like, why are we doing this? Like, I understand, like, oh, Schwarber sees a lot of pitches. He's a dual threat with a walk or a home run. He's got a great eye. But, like, where's the, okay, how much are we leaving on the table conversation? And that conversation is, why did Trey Turner steal 30 consecutive bases and not get thrown out? That just means you're not stealing enough. Okay, so how do we get him to steal more?
But how it is not a strategy thing. I'm telling you. It is when you're dealing with guys of this level, do you know what Trey Turner is thinking about? His steal percentage. That's what he's thinking about. He's thinking about the fact that when he looks at his stats, he can say, I've stolen this number of bases and out of attempts. And having that conversation with Trey Turner is about just saying, hey, let it loose. You're saying your stats are going to be worse. You're going to get thrown out sometimes.
I don't think that that's that clubhouse. Those boys want to win. As a matter of fact, I think they want to win to a fault.
Oh.
I think that they're up there trying to be the big hero. They want to be the hero.
But thank you for the call, AJ. I don't think that's wanting to win so bad. It's wanting to win the way you want to win. Because if they really wanted to win bad and they've seen their approach fail, they would change their approach. But they're not. They're just swinging harder. You can't just swing harder. And it's like saying that Rajon Rondo wasn't selfish because he always passed the ball. No, he was just selfish in a different way. He wanted lots of assists. That's how he was selfish. And I don't think you can say they want it so badly. What's that?
And he couldn't shoot early in his career. Yes. Yeah.
I guess I don't think that you're saying, well, they're just trying too hard. They're not. There were actionable things that you could have done from an approach standpoint that they did not do. And they need a place where they're not so comfortable all the time. So, all right. Coming up next.
What the hell is Lou Piniella doing?
Lou Piniella around?
Still with us, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
We all got the question mark. Like, yeah. I don't know. Mm. What about Joe Madden?
What about old LB?
No.
He'd hold him accountable.
Yeah.
Larry Boa, you kidding me?
Yeah.
He'd hold him accountable.
He definitely would.
Best interim manager of all time would be Larry Boa. Just come in there and whip him into shape.
Well, hold on. They brought back Charlie to be the hitting coach.
They did. Put LB in the dugout there. Do a little bit good cop bad cop with Topper.
Topper,
come on.
All right, coming up next, Ron Jaworski joins us. We will continue the conversation about Rob Thompson.
Ooh,
Rob
a Thomas. Little Matchbox 20 talk.
Yeah, a little smooth. Little 3 a.m.
3 a.m. guy or a push guy.
I'm a push guy.
Yeah, I push pretty good.
Yeah. So Jaws joins us next to find out if Jaws has any confidence that will blow out the Browns. Literally, we are 10-point favorites, and nobody thinks we're going to blow out the Browns. It is unreal. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.